Our reading tonight comes from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, and I've got from 1 to 9, but it's actually Darren, 1 to 19. If you can't get all the verses in, it's my fault, okay? Okay, so it's from 1 to 19. We read from chapter 5 of 2 Kings. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will be known that there is a great prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him: "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abner and Parphah, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself into the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I would not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also, when I bow down to the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." "Go in peace," Elisha said. May the Lord bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand, and that might well be Naaman's testimony. Having been healed from the terrible disease of leprosy, having immersed himself in the River Jordan, and now being healed of a terrible, crippling disease, he was able to proclaim that he was indeed a new creation. Those words remind us of the story of Naaman, and I'm sure you're familiar with the story, because from our Sunday school days we've learned of Naaman, Naaman the great and mighty warrior. He was a leader of the Syrian army. He had everything going for him. He was young, he was vital, he was someone who was a great and mighty warrior. But he was suffering from leprosy. Now, leprosy was, as it is even today, a crippling disease. Today there is more hope for leprosy sufferers, and we support the leprosy mission here in Greenfield, where we help people in third world countries who suffer from this terrible disease. But here was the man who had everything in terms of the world. But here was a man who was suffering from a disease from which there wouldn't be no healing. He would be ostracized from his family. He would live in a community in caves outside the community, Such was his plight. And he sought help. But where could he get that help from? Now, we know that he was someone who listened to a young girl. He had in his household a young girl from Israel, a captive girl, who was a servant to his wife. And this little girl knew of a prophet in Israel, knew of someone called Elisha who might be able to help him. This young little girl knew that Elisha was a prophet, he was a man of God. And she had confidence that if she could tell her mistress about him, that if he was willing to go and see him and listen to his words, there might be healing for him, because she believed in the power of God, in the power of healing. There was obviously a close relationship between Naaman and this little girl and his wife. She was part of the family in a sense. And so what Naaman did was to do exactly what she said. He went to Israel, took a letter of authority from the king of Samaria to go to the king of Israel. With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him for his leprosy. And of course, the king of Israel looked upon this suspiciously. Was this a threat from the king of Samaria? Would this be a way of delving into the possibility of war between the nations? He was very reticent. But Naaman came, and he went to Elijah the prophet, and he knocked on his door. And Elijah said to him, go and dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan, and you will be cured. And Naaman immediately said, you didn't even come out to talk to me. You know, he could have come and spoke to me. All he did was say, through the door, go to the river, dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan, and you will be healed. And what does Naaman do? He rebels against that. We have far better rivers in Samaria than that muddy Jordan. I'm not going to do that. Not going to do it at all. And he'd taken money in order to pay the prophet, but the money wasn't taken, of course. And he was really indignant. He was stubborn. He said, he was full of anger and remorse because of the way Elisha had dealt with him. But on the journey going back, obviously Naaman had a good relationship with his servants, and they said, look, Lord, if he'd asked you to do something difficult, perhaps you would have done it. All he's asked you to do is to dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. So reluctantly, Naaman stepped into the waters of the Jordan, dipped himself 7 times, and to his amazement, he was wonderfully healed of his leprosy. What a shock. What a difference that had made in his life. Naaman had said before this, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abner and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the rivers of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them? Go to the Jordan. Dip yourself in the water, the servant said. And that's what he did. He went on his way, rejoicing. He had found deliverance. He had been taught one of life's lessons. And it is, if you like, within this message, a lesson for us all, really. And a lesson which perhaps we need to learn in the days in which we live. First of all, Naaman had a human need. He was in need of deliverance from this terrible, terrible disease that came upon him. None of us are exempt, dear friends, from the trials of life. None of us are exempt from illness and infirmity that perhaps will come our way. None of us are exempt from bereavement in life, the loss of those we love. None of us are exempt from the world around us where we see such darkness and evil. As I said this morning, the great shock of the death of Anne Widdecombe last week reminds us that evil is lurking in the darkness out there. And it manifests itself in such terrible ways so often. We live in a world where we are part of a world where it is full of wars and rumours of wars. There is a human need, a desperate human need within us for something that will bring deliverance, something that will bring us peace, something that will heal us from our concerns and from our anxieties. And here was a man who was desperate enough to seek that in a way that was totally against what he believed, but someone who recognized that he had a need. This man had a pride. He was a man whose pride was barring his way from deliverance. But that human need was so great. Solomon was right when he said, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So, dear friends, when we trust and believe in the God of the Bible, Let us be sure that he is the God who cares. Let us remember tonight that in our prayers, we know that he will answer them according to his will. Perhaps we too have concerns and anxieties, illnesses and infirmities that are upon us. How do we deal with them? We deal with them in the way that reflects our faith and trust in a God who will bring ultimate healing to us one day. That isn't pie in the sky when we die, but it certainly is that which we know to be God's fulfillment and promise to us who believe in him. And here was a man who had that human need, and yet there was pride within him. There was resistance. Never resist the power of the love of God. Be sure that God cares. Be sure that he will be with you. He will bring deliverance. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For what? For cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Jesus encapsulated this story in his own life. He brought people to life and to hope and to peace. He delivered, he healed, he brought comfort and blessing. There was a prophet in Israel, but there was a savior in Israel as well. Roimer Heer na oir y byd amdano, give me the peace that is beyond all human understanding. And that peace comes when we trust and believe in the God of the Bible, when we believe and trust in Jesus. I will never leave you or forsake you. And you and I know that when the dark hour comes, he is the light in our darkness. May we never have such pride that resists that. May we never be disillusioned. May we never seek to be embittered when perhaps the trials of life come. And let us remember that God's love and care extends to every single one of us. When we have problems, when the trials of life come, may we be not so full of our own pride and self-sufficiency that we don't take it to him in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to work and to bring about those things that will meet our deepest desires. The Apostle Paul knew that in a very real way, you'll remember, when he spoke about the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, neither pain or sorrow or things that have been or things that will be. There is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's remember that and to be sure of it. When the trials of life come, may we be not so stubborn and full of pride that we do not turn to the Lord. May we seek in him all that we will need and to know the assurance of his love. Second thing we find here, in a sense, is eventually Naaman's humility. Naaman was not happy with Elisha's instructions. He did not want to wash in the Jordan. It was the muddiest, dirtiest river around. Naaman went away angry. I thought he'd have come to me. I thought he would have spoken to me. Instead, he just tells me to do these things. And that's why there was within him that sense of rebelliousness. And that's the lesson that Naaman learned as well. It's the lesson of humility. How we need that sense of humility. And a perfect example of that humility was Jesus himself. He was someone who came from the Father's heart. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And remember that in his temptations, in the wilderness of the Jordan, he was tempted. He was tempted in a way that he could have been shown the world and given the world could have been under his domain. All this I will give to you, the devil said, if you will bow down and worship me. The whole temptations came to Jesus, but he resisted those. And he said, get thou behind me, Satan. And you know, dear friends, sometimes the evil one can knock on your door and mine. And he can say, oh, you don't believe that, do you? You know, you don't believe the Bible, you know. Why do you go to church every Sunday? Why do you worship? Come and follow my ways. Come and follow me. I give you everything you need. I can give you pleasure. I can give you joy in those things that are of this earth. You know, you can do anything. You can say you love God. Well, you can if you want to, but you can do what you want then. Yeah? That's what the evil one does. He leads us away from the ways of truth and righteousness. Jesus resisted that temptation. He said, get thou behind me, Satan. And you know, dear friends, there is a balm in Gilead. And that balm can bring to us that realization that we can resist evil. We can come back and we can say, get thou behind me, Satan. when we are tempted to disbelieve, when we are tempted to follow the ways of the world. Let's have a good time. Eat, drink, and to merry. For tomorrow you die anyway. What does it matter? That's the philosophy of the world. And many follow that way. But that way leads to destruction. That's what the Bible says. Not me saying that. That's what the Bible says. And we see it all around us in the world today. The sexual immorality. The way we see so many people who are drunk on materialism. The richer getting richer and the poorer getting poorer. There seems to be a philosophy of greed around. And it's so easy to fall into that trap because it's so tempting. You know, like Naaman said, oh, aren't there better rivers in Syria? I can dip in those. Why should I dip in the Jordan? Why should I listen to this man? Do what he says, the servant says. It's not hard. Just dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And deliverance came. And healing came. A new life came. A life that was on the way to destruction. Of separation from his family for the rest of his life. Covered with terrible, terrible sores and pain and suffering. All were delivered because he did what the prophet said. Dear friends, thank God tonight we are in Greenfield, Llanelli. Thank God we are not in the world out there. Thank God that we are here in the midst of the people of God. We're not many tonight, but we have that blessed assurance that by faith we have entered into these promises, that we are able to resist the evil one. And remember the example of the one who Paul says humbled himself and was obedient even to death upon the cross, who humbled himself, who could have reigned over the world in power and evil, but he chose the way of humility and he chose the way of the cross. And God raised him from the dead, vindicating and giving him the name that is above all other names, the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, we are blessed tonight because we have learned the lesson of humility. We have responded, I hear thy welcome voice. And let me tell you, it is a welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Gogoniant byth am drefn, a cymot ar glanhad, a glanhad. Dear friends, we thank God that he has taught us the ways of humility, not only through this story, but in the wonderful example of the one who came and lived and died and rose again for us. And then finally, we find that Naaman continued his life rejoicing in that which he had proved. And he always apologizes to the prophet because he knew he was going back into that society where other gods would be worshipped. And he says to the prophet, forgive me, I will never worship the gods of Syria. There is only one true living God. But there will be times, he said, when I will have to go into the temple with my master. And I will have to bow. And Elijah says to him, go in peace. He recognized that the God of Elisha was the one true living God. No matter how feeble or misguided our faith, dear friends, we know that in our hearts to be true. The one true living God who in Christ has revealed his word. The one true living God who gives us hope in this evil world of which we are a part. This one true God whom we worship and give glory to this night is the God who teaches us the ways of humility and love and compassion and grace. To follow the ways not of the world, not allow our pride to take over our lives and to think we can reach that goal on our own, because we won't. We won't on our own. If we are full of our own self-sufficiency and pride, then we negate the message of the gospel. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Cling to your faith tonight. Cling to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And you will know that blessed peace and assurance that Naaman knew and the saints through the ages have known. And then remember this wonderful story of a man who was so wonderfully changed, a man who had brought to himself a realization of the one true living God. And that's why tonight we are able to rejoice in the faith once given to the saints. And there were many in Israel with leprosy at the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. That's what the Gospel of Luke tells us. In the New Testament he is mentioned. There was only one who was delivered, only one who was cleansed. The one who came was obedient, the one who came in humility, and the one who acknowledged the one true living God. Friends, we are a blessed people tonight because we belong to him by faith. And through that faith, we are wonderfully, wonderfully redeemed. Naaman teaches us that lesson, that we are changed because we have come to him, that we have believed and trusted in him. And now there is no fear. Now there is no darkness. There is no night. There is only light and hope and peace. And that is certainly the way in which we can go on our way rejoicing. Naaman was such a great example, and Jesus fulfills that example. Even the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledged Naaman himself. Naaman the Syrian was healed. May we know his healing power. May we know his peace in our hearts. And may we know the joy of his salvation to each new tomorrow. May we not be so engulfed with pride that we do not come. May we come in humility, obedient to his word, and faithful to his calling. And then, with all the saints through the ages, one day, in his presence, we will be ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. For indeed, that is the message that Naaman gives to us this night. Amen.